So Proverbs chapter 6, we'll just kind of go through the first few verses again, like, and review them. So Proverbs chapter 6, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. Now, what did we talk about last time? What did that mean?
If you shake hands with someone.
Mm-hmm. But what does the first part of that verse mean?
If you be true to your friend.
Yeah, if you can be true, if you can be reliable, if you can, you know, be a reliable person, if they can be sure of you as a friend, you know. So if thou be surety for thy friend, that's what that means. And like Kaylee said, the striking of hands, it's like a handshake, and it symbolizes an agreement between people. And thou art snared with thy words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So what does that mean?
That means whatever you say, you have to do.
That's right. You're bound to your own word. The same way that Christ is bound to what he says in his word, we as Christians should also be bound by our words. And if we say something, we should be held accountable for what we said. Verse 3, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. So what does this verse mean?
Last part of it is saying that go make sure you do what you said that you would do to your friend or whatever.
Exactly. So that part is fulfilling what was said in the second part, where it's saying, you know, you're bound to your words. And the third verse is saying, now, you know, deliver yourself and make sure you go through with that. Verse 4, give not sleep to thine eyes nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long without sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. What do we talk about? What does froward mean? Anyone remember what froward means? Abby? What does it mean to be froward? What does it mean to have a froward mouth, as the scripture says? It says you don't want to. A naughty man will have a froward mouth. What does that mean?
I don't say foul. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you say things that aren't nice.
Yeah. Well, the word froward basically just, like I talked about last time, it just basically just means difficult, or someone who's hard to get along with, or someone who's just, you know, causing problems, basically, not cooperative. So someone who is a froward mouth is just saying things just to stir up trouble, just not really caring how other people are feeling, or not really caring about, you know, getting along with people. They're just being difficult for the sake of being difficult. And that's an important word to know, because the more you read the Bible, the more you will see that word. And there are certain words that I feel like it's good to learn, because they're all over the Bible. For example, the word beseech. Anyone know what it means to beseech? If I beseech you to do something, what does that mean?
Tell you to do something.
Well, close, but it's more ask. Yeah, like you should ask, right? Yeah, it's more ask. If I beseech you, you know, to read the scripture, I'm asking you, like, you know, I'm saying, asking you for your benefit. I beseech you that it is good, you know, to read the word. So I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you to do something. And that's a word you'll see all over the Bible. Same as the word froward is another word you'll see all over the Bible. The more you read, let's just go to chapter 4, verse 24. And the verse says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So right there, that's just another example in Proverbs where, once again, the word froward is being used. And we could, I mean, if we wanted to, we could go to many different scriptures and we see the word froward. So there's certain words where it's good that we know what they mean, because we're going to see them again and again and again throughout the Bible. So it's good to understand what these words mean. And the word froward means to be difficult. So maybe if we're trying to make plans, and maybe we all want to go to this restaurant, and then one person wants to go to a different restaurant, but you know, the majority wants to go here, but one person wants to go somewhere else, maybe that would be considered froward, because everyone wants to go to one place, and then one person is saying, you know, despite what everyone else wants, they want to do this. That could be considered froward. It could be something that is difficult to deal with. Or say if everyone's in agreement with something, and then one person just disagrees, it's for the sake of disagreement, or argues for the sake of argument, that could be considered froward. So something that is just being difficult, being hard to deal with, being hard to negotiate with or talk to. So those things could be considered froward. So it's good to know what those words mean. Verse 13, chapter 6, verse 13. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. So what did we talk about what that meant last time?
You try to do something without being noticed.
Exactly.
Talk with your hands.
Yeah, doing things in an unorthodox way as to not be found out or noticed or be seen by a lot of people. And you know, it's okay to be, maybe sometimes people are like just more private, but in this sense, it's talking about someone who is trying to hide what they're doing. You know, they're trying to talk with their hands, or maybe wink, or deceive in some way, in a way that so they're not going to get caught, or they're trying to hide in a way. So that's what the scriptures. It's not about, you know, maybe if you. It's not like you have to be an open book to everyone. You have to tell everyone your deepest, darkest secrets. But if you're trying to hide something or get away with something, usually that's a sign that you know your intentions aren't pure. And we're speaking of your intentions. In verse 14, it says, frowardness is in his heart. So that's another one. Once again, the word froward is being used. So difficulty and being difficult and causing problems, those, you know, it's in their heart. So those are bad intentions. Those are bad desires. That's what's in their heart when they're trying to hide what they're communicating. So frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. So like I talked about last time, calamity is just bad things happening, you know, a bad event, a bad circumstance. Calamity can be many things, but none of them good. So in verse 16, this is where we left off last time. Verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So, we know what pride is. A proud look, you know, or just thinking that was the devil's problem. He had a lot of pride, and he thought, you know, he could be just like God, and he could be better. So that's what got him in trouble. So we know that pride is not a good thing to have. We know the saying, pride comes before the fall. We know that pride is just thinking, you know, too much of yourself, or being too proud in, you know, in what you are, and not, you know, because we know that the Bible says those who humble themselves will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be abased and be brought down. So you never want to, as a Christian, you don't want to build yourself up. You want to humble yourself and then let God build you up. So having a proud look, something that, you know, the scripture is saying that God hates. And then a lying tongue. So of course we know that lying is wrong, and people seem to think that the real dangerous thing about lying is that the consequences don't always come immediately. So sometimes people think it's okay to get away with, it's okay to do this, it's not as bad as, you know, it's not as bad as something else, or it's not as bad as smoking or drinking, or they have this perception of, oh, lying, well, lying is this, and it's not, you know, everyone does it, and they try to excuse it, but we should try to never lie, because here it's saying that, that God hates lying. So why would we, you know, why would we try to justify something that God hates? You know, try to make it seem like it's not that big of a deal. But lying is a very big deal. And it's one of the things that the scripture is saying that God hates. Okay, proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So, has anyone in here shed innocent blood? No, we probably don't think so. But in Matthew, Jesus talks about how you know, the law says not to, to kill, but then Jesus says that that if you speak, you know, false, or if you speak harshly against your brother or someone else, that can be considered murder. That can be just as bad as you know, physically harming somebody. So we might think that, oh, I'm not a murderer. I've never shed innocent blood. But if you've ever had a, you know, hateful feelings towards somebody, excuse me. If you have, sorry, if you, if you've had hateful feelings towards somebody, if you verbalized it, if you've, you know, said things that maybe you shouldn't say out of anger or rage, or maybe you're in an argument with somebody and you say something that's hurtful, you know, those things could be just considered just as bad as murder, you know, in the Lord's eyes. So, of course, obviously murder is murder, but we as Christians hold ourselves to a higher standard so that even the things we say, which is why earlier in this chapter it's talking about the things we say and how we're bound to them. So we get in an argument and then we say something hurtful to somebody. As Christians, our words have power. So we should never just think, oh, we can say anything and then just forget about it later. And oh, I'll just, if I say something, I'll just cover it up later. I'll apologize, it'll be fine. We should always be trying to temper our tongues, as the scripture says. Always trying to watch what we say very carefully. Abide by our own words and be careful with our words. You know, and we should use our words to, you know, uplift and encourage others and to help others or to correct someone and then to put them on the right path. But not to break someone down or put someone down or try to belittle someone, even if we're in an upset state or if we're angry or upset at someone or we're in an argument. We should never use our words to try to break people down or insult people. You know, we should always have a purpose behind our words. So our, the power behind our words, you know, there's consequences to everything, to the things we do and the things that we say. Especially as Christians, we know that there's consequences. And here it's saying, you know, the shedding of innocent blood. And we know that in the scripture, the shedding of innocent blood, I don't have the exact scripture with me right now, but I believe, I remember that Jesus said that if you call your brother Raca, I think it's R-A-C-A, it's spelled. And I looked up the word Raca. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but I looked up the word. And apparently it's an old insult that means useless. So if you were to call someone useless, if you were to basically just degrading someone, if you're trying to call someone useless or insult someone or saying, oh, well, you're not all that, you're not this, you know, you're pathetic, you know, you're boring, you're dumb, you know, just saying things like that and intending to hurt people, you know, that can be just as bad as murder. So and here in Proverbs in the Old Testament, it's saying that that's something that God hates. That's one of the things that God hates. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So we should understand the power of our words, the weight of our words, the fact that the things that we say can make an impact on other people, and the fact that the things we say matter to God, and that we're, as Christians, we're bound by them. So we don't want to speak out of order or to say things that are harmful and that could, you know, come back to us later. I'm sure we've all said things we regret. So just next time, maybe if you're feeling that upset feeling, or you feel that your blood boiling and you feel your heart pounding, maybe just don't speak and wait. And just wait And sometimes it's better not to speak when you're angry or when you're emotional. Sometimes it's better to just not speak and just to feel the emotion and let it pass. As opposed to getting upset and saying something that you'll regret later. And that, you know, just hold your tongue lest you might shed innocent blood. So it's always good to remember that as Christians. And verse 18, still continuing on the things that God hates. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So, we know Brother Branham said our spirit realm is memory, conscious, affection, imagination. And one of the things that, you know, and this is something that, you know, as we're trying to be perfected as Christians, we have to be, I mean, perfection is perfection. It's not, there's no shortcuts or, you know, bandages or things we can hide, you know, to get to perfection. So we're not supposed to look, our eyes aren't supposed to look proud. We're not supposed to have a proud look. Our tongues aren't supposed to lie. Our hands shouldn't shed innocent blood. And now, our hearts shouldn't devise wicked imaginations. So now it's getting into our spiritual realm, but our mental realm, where we think, our thoughts, the things that we think, even, you know, towards other people. So say you get in an argument, say you're upset, and you're saying, you know what, I don't want to look at them proudly. I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not going to shed innocent blood by saying something I don't mean or try to break them down. But you're still having a malicious thought towards them. Even just having a malicious thought or thinking, man, oh, if I was this or if I was that, or, oh, if I had it my way, they would be this. Or even having that type of thought, the Bible is saying we should avoid that. You know, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations. That's just things that we think. If we're thinking wrong, we should try to avoid that. So especially as we know we have to be perfected as Christians, we can't even allow ourselves to, you know, just get too loose with how we're thinking. You know, even you know, we should know, even if we, it's like Brother Branham said, if the bird, you know, some things we can't help, but you don't let it, you let the bird will fly over, but you don't let it nest, you know. So maybe a thought might come, but you shake it off and you say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to think like that. I'm not supposed to feel that way about a brother or sister, or even someone who's not a brother or sister. I shouldn't be thinking or feeling that way about anybody. I should be better than that. You know, the thought might come, but you shake it off and you don't let it nest. You just continue on and say, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm supposed to love people. I'm supposed to forgive. I'm not supposed to feel that hateful or vengeful or angry feeling at people. You know, that's not what I'm supposed to be about as a son of a daughter of God. So don't even let your heart devise wicked imaginations. Don't even let your brain, don't let your mind dwell on those thoughts. You know, like Brother Branham said, the thoughts will come, but you don't let them nest. You don't let them sit there and create more problems for you down the road. Okay, verse 18, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. So, I mean, this is pretty self-explanatory. Just, you know, people who just run towards things and go towards things that they know are not good, they know are out of line, running to mischief. It's a self-destructive habit. Of course, God doesn't want us to participate in mischief and evil doing. So, of course, those that we as Christians are trying to avoid it as much as we can. So, of course, those that run to it, that's something that God is going to disapprove of. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he soweth discord among brethren. So, the word discord was used in a few verses earlier to that. You remember what it means? Discord can be communication, but usually it's argument. It's usually an argument. So if you're sowing discord among brethren, if you're instigating, if you're speaking lies, if you're causing problems, you know, if you're being forward and trying to, you know, cause problems or say, oh, you know what this person said about you or this person said about you, and then those people meet and then they're upset at each other. Or just even if a conversation is going on and people are trying to make it right, you keep bringing it up so that they can, you know, argue about it more, or just different things like that. We don't want to sow discord. We always want to be at peace. Excuse me. We always want to be at peace with our brothers and sisters. We don't ever want to be sowing discord or encouraging arguments or fights. We always want to encourage unity and peace among each other and love among each other. Verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 21, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So we've gone through the things that that God hates. So, and that's what I like about the scriptures. They tell you what not to do, but they also tell you what to do. Mm. And so we've been told what not to do. We've told what God hates. We've been told what we shouldn't do, what's wrong. And now it's also going to give us the solution and the way to fix our problems and the way to get better. So it says, keep the commandments. And then verse 21 says, bind them continually upon thine heart. So keep these important things with you in your heart. You know, in heart is, you know, a pretty basic translation to the soul of yourself, you know, to the deepest part of you. Bind the commandments and the word and those things, bind them into your continually upon thy heart. And the Bible does this a lot, where it says bind them continually upon thine heart. So the Bible does this all the time. Even Brother Dale talked about one time, I remember, he talks about the scripture doesn't say believe, it says believeth. So you don't just believe once and then you're done. That's kind of how the Baptists believe. You know, you just believe once and then you're done and then that's it. But the scripture says believeth, which means to continue believing. We keep believing. We don't just believe one time and then we just go back to doing what we were doing before, because, you know, we're saved now and we don't have to worry about all that. But it says believeth. So we continue to believe. Because many people can come and go and backslide and all those things, but those who continue to believe and continue to stay faithful and continue, you know, to go to church and continue to read the Bible, we must always continually be binding the commandments in our hearts, the way the scripture is telling us here. And it's all over the Bible, where it's not just believe, it's not just come to the revelation, but you keep having revelations and things keep being revealed to you. You believe and you keep believing. And you bind the commandments on your heart, but you do it continually. So we always have to remember it's a Christian journey. It's not just we do one thing here and then we're done, and we do one thing there and then, you know, we're good. But it's a continual journey where we're continually learning, continually unfolding, continually getting closer to God, continually believing what He said to do, and just continually, you know, bettering ourselves as Christians. So God bless you. You're dismissed.